You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, much as stock markets have built-in circuit breakers to put a stop to panic selling and recalibrate the mood, which, by the way, happened today not long after the open when the S&P 500 hit 7% on the downside, so too will we use the program today to recalibrate the mood, to explain why all of a sudden the economic realities of the coronavirus seem to have gotten oh so much more real. To start us off, economist Megan Green from the Harvard Kennedy School. Megan, it's good to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Why, as best you can figure out, did the bottom seemingly fall out today? What happened?
So I think it was a confluence of two things, mainly. One is that northern Italy pretty much shut down. So it just fed the idea that even if new cases are slowing down within China, they're actually accelerating outside of China. And that's a big deal. And then the second issue actually isn't directly related to the coronavirus. It's more related to the OPEC meeting on Friday, where Saudi and Russia decided to flood the market with oil. And so oil prices have fallen pretty precipitously. And that creates huge credit problems for a lot of companies related to the energy industry, which are actually pretty highly leveraged and are generally rated, just above junk level. And right. So if you start seeing defaults, then they'll be downgraded and there will be forced selling. So that's also provided a lot of drama today.
Right. Highly leveraged, lots of borrowing. More on oil coming up from Scott Tong in a minute. Let me ask you about a word you use, though. Things are accelerating outside China. Speaking broadly, are you surprised at the speed with which this whole thing has come to this moment?
So I'm not, just given how incredibly interconnected the world is, both in terms of global supply chains, but also more importantly, in this case, in terms of people traveling around. And I think that China really did great work in buying the rest of us time, in that they had really draconian measures to try to keep people in their own towns, in their own buildings. It's much more than most people realize. In addition to quarantining and social distancing, you know, there's an app that the government runs where you can see who has coronavirus. So that, you know, enforces social distancing. So China bought us a lot of time, and a lot of us have completely squandered it, most of all the U.S. So our response to this crisis has been pretty embarrassing, I think, for a developed country with a highly competent health system.
How much of that American response contributes to what I perceive to be the changing nature of this crisis? It's going from a supply shock, which we talked about when Apple had its earnings warning, to now people worried about demand shock and the credit markets and all of that.
That's right. So the demand shock, I think we're all really worried about, and rightly so, but we don't actually have any data that's suggesting it's happened. So the demand shock we know is coming out of China, right? The second largest economy in the entire world was at a standstill for at least 5 weeks. But for the U.S., the demand shock at home, it's just perceived at this point, right? It involves people not going out to dinner and not going out and spending. And we can certainly get there. But at the moment, I think it's just concern about it. We're not getting any data that's suggesting that that's the case, really. It's just something that seems like it might be coming. And I think it's absolutely reasonable for us to worry about this. And then that's feeding over into the financial markets, of course, as confidence has been bled from them. And so you've seen these huge moves over the past couple days.
If, and let's stress that this is a big if, but if we do turn into a recession in this economy, given that the underlying fundamentals, as politicians like to say, were strong, right? The labor market's strong, consumers are really confident. What might a recovery look like on the other end of this thing?
So it depends entirely on epidemiology, and none of us really have answers there. So it really depends on how far this virus spreads. If the virus is eventually contained and we have an appropriate policy response with some fiscal stimulus, a year from now, that we might remember this entire experience, but, you know, we'll have forgotten about the economic implications of it, right? So it could just be transitive. We saw that with the SARS virus, for example. There was a big drop off in demand, and then, you know, it picked up pretty immediately once the virus was contained. So that could be the case here, but if it actually is spread further and is more deadly, then, you know, of course, we might not get a V-shaped recovery. It might be much more gradual and require more policy intervention.
Right. Megan Green, an economist, also a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School. Megan, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time and your insights.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.